no Remembrance Day service here at First Baptist Church would be the same without the assistance of Jeff Walther. He is part of... Woo! Let's go. He really needs no introduction, as he is a part of our church family here. So welcome. Welcome, Jeff.
Good morning, everyone. It is fast approaching the 11th hour on the 11th day of the 11th month. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We remember those from First Baptist who laid down their lives in World War I. Russell Gordon. And those who laid down their lives in World War II. Harvey Irwin. Richard McDonald. William McCrone. And Raymond Tiffin. We remember those who served from this congregation, our veterans of World War II. Ronald George, David Irwin, Horace Beaumont, Gilbert Gibb Horton, Ralph Carson, Ross Urey, Jim Kennedy, Ed Mullen, Malcolm Goddard, Michael DeHolis, Bill Scott, Delbert Urey, Bill Hardy, Ralph O'Connor, the Reverend Vic Hall, Cliff Morgeson, Barb Davey, Harold Walther, Fred Pierce, Harvey Urey, Ross Davey, and Ray Mosley. We thank our veteran from the war in Afghanistan, Master Corporal retired, Christian Terstige, and from the Royal Canadian Engineers, present with us this morning, is Pat Patterson. We now ask the congregation to please stand.
We remember them. just as we have promised to do so. We remember those who laid down their lives and honor them for the sacrifice that they paid, for the freedoms that we cherish and hold dear. We remember our Father in heaven, those who were called to serve and came home by your grace and yet bore scars deep within. We honor them for the price that they paid in what they bore for our sake. And on this 100th anniversary of the 11th hour, the 11th day of the 11th month, since armistice was signed at the end of the war to end all wars, we stand before you and we honor the one who is the Prince of Peace, the one who at his coming all weapons of war will be melted down into plowshares and the like, and there will be peace. Until then, we pray for peace. We pray for wisdom upon our governments. We lift them before you in concern as we see the freedoms of our democracies being eroded, and we ask for wisdom and a turn of heart on our governments. We pray at your bidding for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray in this and in all things, your will be done as we look to the coming day of our Lord's return. In his name we pray. Amen. We also want to commit to you our missionary family, the Westons, Nate and Aaron and their children, Nolan and Kylie and Jack and Teddy, and Ethan, who cannot be here today. We lift them before you, and we thank you for the service that they are rendering to the kingdom of God and for the work that you are able to do in Togo because of their willingness to lay aside what they have here and go to Africa and serve you there. We pray that you would enlarge the work of their hands and their heart, and that you would bless it, and much fruit might come as a result. We pray as they come to share in just a moment that your anointing would be evident upon them as they share. Help us, Lord Jesus, to tune the ears of our heart to your presence and to your voice. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. And Nate, come on up. And Aaron. And I'm telling you, we couldn't even begin to tell how much fun that we had out there. We just kind of set the hard work part of it aside. We did the hard work. But what we remember is all the fun that we had. Amen?
Thank you.
God bless you, buddy.
Thank you, brother. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Wow. Great to see you all this morning. I just want to start off and say thank you, sir, for your service. I'm afraid I don't know you well, but I would love to know you, and I just appreciate your courage, and I thank you for that. I thank you for this church, the list of names of people that I don't know, but just honor them and their willingness to serve and in a physical battle, right? And it's amazing, the courage. And our story is essentially going to battle as well. Husband, wife of 5 great kids who are seeking to put God first. And our verse that started all of this was, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. That's Psalms 37:5. And always in my mind, it is a battle. You face battle physically as well as emotionally. It's a spiritual battle that we face every day. And I pray as believers that we'll be convicted to that end, to face every day as a battle. And just like Jesus, when he called his disciples, they didn't think about it. They dropped what they were doing and they ran to serve. So I pray that we would go forward with courage. So I thank you for that. I thank you for the opportunity to share this morning of the great time that we had in Togo, of the great experience we had with your team, even Hess. And just so appreciate the support financially and most of all prayerfully. We come from a great church family down in London, but you guys are like family too. So we thank you so much for that. And we may as well get on with the pictures and telling our story. Aaron. That's right.
So for those of you who don't know us, we were in Togo, West Africa, working at the Hospital of Hope. So this is just a picture of the hospital. When we went way back in 2012, Nate was helping to build this hospital. So it was really neat for us to go back and see it completed. If you remember, we had to come back short notice because Kylie got sick. So we never got to see it finished in terms of the construction. So it was really exciting when we arrived back in Togo 2 years ago to be able to see this hospital functioning and patients in wards and doctors serving and chaplains sharing the gospel. And so it was really the main focus of what our team is doing in Togo. This is the hospital entrance here. You might recognize that, those of you who are on the team. It was also it's the rainy season in this picture, so it's very green. Most of the year, it's not green at all. So, yeah, it's brown. So this is the entrance to the hospital where we worked. You can go to the next slide. And there's the hospital just from above. There's a water tower on the property, and Kylie would like to go up to the top and take pictures in different seasons so we'd get a different idea of what the hospital looks like. So it's not a huge hospital in terms of our standards, but by Togolese standards, it's a wonderful hospital. It is 60 beds, and it's got surgical wards and labor and delivery wards, and then a clinic as well where people can come in just see like a doctor like you would to go to see your family doctor, and then as well just a variety of care. Right from physiotherapy to other therapies. And then, of course, the main point is that we would share the gospel with our patients. So as they come in with physical needs, we have a team of chaplains, mostly Togolese people who speak the variety of local languages, and they share the gospel, talk people through some really hard conversations like you would have to have in hospitals with people who have been given a scary diagnosis or their child has or any number of things. So that's sort of what we were doing as working there. Nate was building homes for surgeons, and your team was helping us build the Reisman House, which was fantastic. It got tons done, and the Reismans moved in. You guys were there in November. The Reismans moved in January and absolutely loved it, said it is the nicest house they have ever lived in. So they're thrilled, and it is gorgeous, and, they were so thrilled. And we just really are so grateful for your team coming and helping with the variety of jobs that had to get done to get that house ready for them to arrive a couple months later. You can go to the next slide. So just to update you what we were all doing, it's sort of a variety of things with six of us living there. And in different ways, everyone served or was part of the mission there. So we'll go with Kylie first. She was often helping in wound care in the clinic. So an amazing opportunity for her to be able to go into the hospital, into the clinic and triage the patients and then also help with wound care. And then she was able to go into the OR quite often. The surgeons were fantastic. So other than doing sort of a homeschool, high school, which was always second if there was a really cool thing going on at the hospital, she would be often at the hospital, and if not, going into town or to the cuisine to visit the patients who she had either helped or gotten to know in the hospital. And then I think it's Nolan, yes. So Knowles was often busy in the construction area when he wasn't doing high school. He was really helping Nate. There he is, stuck under a truss somewhere on a roof, and just helping in a variety of ways, as well as doing all the groundskeeping. It's a 66-acre compound, so it's huge. And so he cut a lot of grass and kicked up a lot of dust when there was no grass to cut. So you can see that in the dry season, it's like moon dust. It's so dry. So there he is doing his thing. So everybody had a part to play. If you had hands and feet, and for those of you who were there, you know that we can keep you busy with jobs and tasks there. And then there's the two littles. So Jack also helped. He did a lot of groundskeeping and worked on the farm. There's a small farm on the compound. So he was often busy helping with sheep or chasing donkeys or doing a variety of things that helped the farmers there. Also went to school. So on the compound is a small school for elementary age kids. So our two youngest, Jack and Ted, went to school in the little MK school there. So there he is with one of his teachers, Aunt Amanda, in their little classroom. It was a fantastic setup there. And then I think there's one more of him with Teddy and their friend Lazar, who's a child they met in town and would come and visit and play with us and hang out at our house and have lunch. So Lazar was often at our house on weekends. So it was really nice to get to know him. And there's Teddy. He's holding up a little snake that was killed there on compound. He did not kill it, but he wanted to hold it up like a trophy. Anyhow, so that's him. And he also went to school. I think the next picture is him with his class and then in his desk in his classroom. And if he wasn't busy playing with his friends and doing school, then we were often at the pool, which I think is the next one. So, yes, we don't often show pictures of the pool because, you know, we want people to think we're really suffering there. But since you had a team there, we can tell the truth that that's like our park for all the missionaries. It's a big team, about 75 people on our missionary team. And so the swimming pool is like God's grace in the form of water in terms of the heat there, a place for us all to meet. And just for the kids to play, that's a safe place. And also, often, quite honestly, because we are just the only white people in the area, we're a spectacle. And so just a place where we can go, our kids can play, and we're not constantly being watched and pointed at and laughed at and, you know, the dinner table conversation in a Togolese home. So it's nice to have a place where we can go and hang out. And also just the pool itself is just a huge gift because it's really, really hot there. Yeah. And I think I'm next. So when we first got there, I was able to help in the hospital with a program of preemie follow-up. So basically, it sounds really official, but I went in and I got to kiss babies and make sure that they were growing according to how they should. And then the second job I sort of gained was teaching at the school. The second year we were there, we didn't have a teacher for the grades 1 to 3. So some of us moms got together and said, okay, well, we need to make this happen. And we did by God's grace. It was a huge gift, and so I taught every morning 5 days a week in one of the classes, and so did the other moms lined up behind there. And then my other job when I wasn't doing that was to run the guest house where your team stayed. So there's extra housing on compound, almost like a motel with a dining hall where we had all our meals together. And these are the ladies that I worked with who are fantastic. These ladies are the ones who cook the meals, do the laundry for the teams, clean the rooms, generally do whatever they're asked. And they are a joy to work with. This was one of my favorite jobs, was just working with these ladies, getting to know them. And then every Friday we would have Bible study together with these ladies. And just to be able to see them growing in the Lord and seeing them. We have currently 5 out of the 6 are believers, but 1 is not. And she's just a new addition. So just be praying for her as she works with Christians, as she attends Bible study, she's eager to listen. But as a Muslim woman in a Muslim country, you know, she needs to count the cost, and she needs to see Jesus as her greatest treasure. So that's sort of where we were at. And I think the next slide is probably Nate. And this is all the construction. So I'm stepping aside.
Okay, catch our breath. We had 3 Canadian teams come. Yours was one of them, from Leamington and then from our church. And absolutely, you guys are the best.
It's true.
Even Hess. No. So part of my responsibility there was to go down to the airport and pick up the teams and drive them up in this little Toyota van. And it was 550 kilometers, about 9-hour drive if the road was okay. So, and all the times there was accidents and troubles, only God's grace. There must be lined with angels, that road, for the stuff you have to go through. But it was great to meet the team, and it's like, okay, who's it going to be this time? And not a disappointment at all. It was so wonderful. It was a real eye-opener when our law enforcement specialist over here, Patty, came to the first military checkpoint, and she's like hitting the floor and ready to go. And I was like, oh boy, this is going to be great. So I tried to get her in trouble, but I couldn't speak the language well enough, so we did okay, but it was so fun and such an encouragement. And that really is part of the blessing, is when you're there, you know, it's 12 hours a day and the routine sets in and you're battling heat and a little bit of illness. We were very fortunate this time. Kylie has both her feet still, which is great. And just hard work, but it wears on you. And so to have that encouragement of, you know, a Christ-centered team coming, looking to glorify God and to build up the missionaries and us as a family was phenomenal. So again, thank you for that. It was great. And then for myself, I do construction here in Canada. I have my own small little deal going on, and it's easy for logistics. You order something, it comes, and all that sort of stuff. And you know the manpower, you know what's going on. You can time jobs out, and it normally goes well. There, to order material from the States is about a 6-month deal, and it comes in a sea container. You don't know the manpower you have. I have 15 African guys that were working with me there. But the teams come, you know, come and go. And they have different specialties and all that sort of stuff. And just God's timing was incredible. I had nothing to do with it. It was so much a God thing to get the Reisman House finished. You guys showed up right on perfect timing to punch that place out, you know. And jobs like putting the screens on those little attic openings that you guys worked away at diligently and did a great job. And it was just such a blessing. And it was so awesome to be there. I can't put it into words, but just to be there and see God working in just great ways, because it's so hard to get things done and in an efficient manner. So that was a real blessing. These are some of my guys here. They took the liberty. He came in and asked me, he said, "Nate, how do you spell your name?" And I'm like, N-A-T-E. And I walk around the corner of the house, and it's over the septic tank, which may be telling. But anyway, they spelt out my name in the rocks that we used to put on the wall. And I didn't ask my guys to do anything I wasn't willing to do. I didn't have the language, but it was just so clear to me to glorify God and what I'm gifted in, and that seems to be working, and just loving on guys. And so I was able to put my tool pouch on every day and just work with my guys and build a strong relationship that way, never being over them, but be with them. And so that was very cool. And I think the language thing was just a big deal in humility, you know, because here you can just operate and get stuff done. There it's like, oh, you're broken again, and you're broken again, and you're broken again. And it's a great place to be, is to be flat on your face and praying to God for help and then being built up by great teams that are encouragement. So it's wonderful. We had the radio tower blew over, and hold on the slides there. I got a long way to go. The radio tower blew over. There's a radio station next to the hospital, and every African has a cell phone that transmits like a radio station. They can pick it up. So the radio, is it Hope Radio? They're going to be transmitting and reaching just hundreds of thousands of people. The tower blew over in a horrible windstorm. The roof came off their building. So this is us. I think that's a Canadian. That's a Canadian. Yeah, the London one, though? Mm-hmm. Anyway, sorry. But we're putting the roof back on, and it was so cool to take my 15 African guys the day after the storm. Everything blew off. They're just, you're waking up to this disaster. And we had it all cleaned up in a day and then started rebuilding the next day. So it was such an encouragement to the radio. And just to show the guys that we can put what we see as our job over here aside and go help our neighbor and just love on them and encourage them. So that was great. So there's the picture of the guys. You can see the other guy in the background, Bruce Walpole, is off to the one side. He's from Michigan. Was he there when you guys were there? I forget. I don't think he was. He's 70 years old, retired engineer, and he comes over for 5 months at a time. And so he would be the brains of the outfit, and I was putting stuff to work. So it was a really great time to work with him. So his idea of retirement was to serve over there. It was awesome, a real blessing that way. And all of our guys, you can see Nolan in there, and it was great to see the kids all mature in different ways. Definitely a struggle there. Like, you're out of your comfort zone, you're away from your friends, you're away from family, so you know it kind of strips everything away, and it can get kind of raw. And it was great to see God work in their lives, and just love those guys. And see Nolan work shoulder to shoulder with our African friends was great. I was telling my Uncle Dale, Nolan was driving truck. He drove a tandem axle dump truck over there, and it was awesome just to see him flourish and do really well. So that was awesome. Next slide. Oh my goodness, look at that handsome group of people. That's awesome. It was so great. That's in front of the Reisman house. Before they moved in, but that was the project just about wrapped up there. And to see that house, and it's really a challenge for families to obviously move such a great distance, but thanks to the team and everything coming together, the Reisman family is in a comfortable home there, and Mrs. Reisman is keeping a beautiful home. It's tidy. She has people over all the time. She's doing great with her kids. And it's on the compound, so Stephen is over to the hospital all the time working as a family doc and doing all kinds of crazy things that he normally wouldn't do. But yeah, thank you so much. That family has landed, and they're moving forward, and they're committed to life of service there. So it's very cool.
I just wanted to share one little story with you, just so you know. The next slide is a friend of ours, I think, if it's the right one, Mr. Musa. So just so you get an idea of what is going on in the Hospital of Hope, I mean, obviously the point is not just medical health care. The point is to share Jesus with people. And we have found that medical missions is an excellent avenue to make that happen. People come in need, and then when you get to share, not, the hope of Jesus Christ with them. So this is a friend of ours, Mr. Musa, who is in a wheelchair in this picture. So he came into the hospital before we even arrived. He had broken his leg in a motorcycle accident and had a rod put in his leg, which is the same surgery our son had when we lived in Togo, also in a motorcycle accident. So we just had this really interesting point. He sat under the tree. There's not very many, so the tree, every day, and would wave at us, and we would go over and chat with him. And while he was there, he had was recovering from the surgery, and he fell in the bathroom and bent the rod in his leg. And so poor Mr. Musa is in a huge setback. And as the doctors are trying to figure out, infection set in. And so he ended up being at our hospital. His village is quite a distance away. He could not have walked there or even taken a motorcycle there. And because it's impassable in rainy season, that means he's stuck at our hospital for at least half the year. So it was over a year he spent in our hospital. And during that time, by God's grace and by his hand, Mr. Musa came to know the Lord, a staunch Muslim man, a leader in his village, and he comes to see Jesus as his greatest treasure. So he would sit under the tree and listen to these radio programs in his heart language and just learn and learn and learn, and we would go up and have conversations with him. And he was just the loveliest man. Anyhow, it was coming time for infection was clearing up, and the doctors are like, we have one last surgery we can try, and if that doesn't work, he will need to have his leg amputated, which would, as a farmer, would change his entire life as provider. He has 11 children, so a huge, huge responsibility. In this picture, two of his kids are with us. They had come over. Anyhow, we prayed and prayed and prayed for him as he went into the surgery, and praise God, it worked. And that's him ready to go home after a year at our hospital with his kids, able to walk. It was a slow walk, but he had no walker, and he was just walking home. And as we continue to follow up, and our chaplains would go out and visit him in his village, his other village leaders came to him and tried to talk him out of his faith in Jesus, that he's not going to do well in their village and they're not going to have it. And he refused to succumb to that. And as we left, was still living for the Lord, shining the light of Jesus in his little village in West Africa. And he is just one of many stories like that, where one person comes to the hospital, is introduced to the truth of Jesus, and asks for a Bible study to happen for their family in their village. And as that happens, more Togolese are like, wait, what's going on there? And so just before we left in June, one village started with one surgery happening, one surgical patient. And just this summer, 46 members of that tribe were baptized in the river. So we are just praising God with what he is doing through the Hospital of Hope. And just wanted to share just this little version of like our personal experience. And though we were not part of leading Mr. Musa to the Lord, we praise God for his life and for his influence in his community and for how God is using stories like this over and over again in Togo and all over the world. But we, again, are just so grateful to you guys from the moment you even heard about Kylie through Auntie Heather praying for us when you didn't even know us, and then inviting us to come, and then inviting us to come again, and then us just coming because you loved on us as a family, and then supporting us when we went back, and then backing us by your faithful prayers, and then sending your own to partner with us shoulder to shoulder in this work. And so you have a huge place in our hearts, and we love you guys, and we're so grateful to you as a church for just loving on us, on our kids, on our family, and the ministry that's happening in Togo. And just one aside, I want to just say, like, this whole shoebox thing is fantastic. I know we do it, we fill them, but we have friends in Togo who have received those shoeboxes. It was so neat to be in my neighbor's house and her say, where are you from? And I was like, I'm from Canada. Is that near the United States? She asked. And I was like, well, yes, it's quite close. Anyhow, she brought out this shoebox, opened it up, and there's a picture of a little girl from a church in Michigan, and she's like, this is our shoebox that we got this year. Then we were there, we would see those Samaritan's Purse trucks drive up the road loaded with shoeboxes. So these boxes get where they're going, and they share the gospel with these kids. And so we're so thrilled that, Patty, you're going to go. That is awesome. And just what a ministry, and just to see how God is going to use your connection from us way back in 2012 and how it is expanding. So we give him all the glory for you and for what he has done in us and through us. And so thank you.
You have a huge place in our hearts, so you do. And I want to say thank you for the awesome privilege that you gave us to be able to come and to serve with you there and to serve you. That radio tower and the roof that Nate was talking about, that's the same one that I was mentioned to you some months ago, where the a Muslim man who had owned the property that the Hope Radio Station had bought from him, he wanted them to buy it. Okay, he gave it to them at a really special price. But when all of this happened, he came to Ethan and with tears in his eyes. And he said, your God must be bigger than our God. Because if that had happened to us, we'd have been out of here. It's like the next day you're rebuilding. God is in this. See, God can do way beyond what we can imagine or think when we give it all to him. Let him do the work, and we're just the monkey wrench. That's all we are, there to serve him. Thank you, Nate and Aaron. Father, what a privilege it is to be the bearers of good news that Jesus lives, and to proclaim the gospel not only around the world, but to our neighbors. We pray this morning as we send out these shoeboxes in your name, that as they arrive at their destination, that they would proclaim the good news, and that good news would be received by all who receive that box. We dedicate them to you. But Father in heaven, we dedicate ourselves to you, and we pray that as we go forth from here, we would do so with your love in our hearts, your joy on our face, and your good news on our lips. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.